1039 1450, NHTalkRadio.com. It's New Hampshire Now, Ken Kale, and being joined by Governor Chris Sununu. Governor Sununu, how are you on this? What is it, December? It feels more like April.
I know. Can you believe it? It's a little warm out there for December, but it'll cool off. Winter's coming. This is going to be strong, I promise. I don't promise much as governor, but I promise we're going to have a good season. But I just enjoy a few days of the warm weather while we got it.
Well, first of all, congratulations on your reelection to your third term in the corner office. A resounding victory, so way to go.
No, I appreciate it. I got to be honest. It was a very weird campaign this year. It was very shortened. I didn't do a whole lot. I spent a lot of time working for other candidates, not so much for myself, but I'm just kind of glad it's done because, I mean, by Wednesday at noontime, we were back at work.
Yeah.
There was really no rest for the weary. We got so many things we're dealing with in the state.
Oh,
but that's
yeah.
fine. You know, and we've just been busy. It seems like a million years ago at this point.
Yeah, no question about it. And you must be breathing easier today as those seven GOP lawmakers dropped their impeachment efforts yesterday.
Oh, I was sweating that one out. I was sweating it out. I just ignore all that stuff. I mean, I think we've done a very good job. I think the people understand that. The irony of all that was, yeah, these seven lawmakers that are just trying to make a name for themselves and get a splash on the headlines, but I think I won all of their towns by 60% or more. So they weren't really caring for the voice of the people, so to say. They were more in it for themselves, but they knew it was going nowhere. So it was just a passing thing.
Yeah, the mask mandate has caused some controversy. Obviously, the protests outside of your house, which I just think is despicable, but all as a result of doing something that we all should be doing.
Well, that's just it. And look, we knew if we imposed a mask mandate, it was going to be controversial and people were going to have issues with it and all of that. We had great numbers. We saw a very serious spike, and we're still in a very serious spike. The numbers today are another record high for New Hampshire, unfortunately. So we're still in this for a while longer. But obviously, in the more rural parts of the state, they really weren't doing a lot of things that we do on an everyday basis in the southern part of the state. And the numbers of COVID started to really spike in Co-ops and Grafton and places like that. And so it was a real statewide issue. We showed all the data that supported doing the mask mandate, all those metrics that we used to make that decision. And I understand some people are a bit upset about it. Obviously, protesting at the state house is fine. We have political protests there all the time. I'm not going to lie to you. Coming to my family's home absolutely crosses the line. I mean, it really does. I'm not going to say much more of it than that, other than completely inappropriate response.
No, there's no doubt, and I think most people out there feel that way. That is absolutely out of the realm of responsibility, and just atrocious. Anyway, the biggest issue, obviously, facing this state and every other these days, as you alluded to, COVID numbers are spiking in New Hampshire and elsewhere as well. And, as you mentioned, you're seeing a lot in Coos County right now, a place that earlier did not have much spread of of COVID-19 at all. And you're seeing it in other states where it did not either, like North and South Dakota. The good news is, I look at the front page of the paper this morning, and it says two vaccines likely to be ready before Christmas. What are you hearing?
That's absolutely true. So I was on the phone call with Dr. Fauci and Vice President Pence yesterday afternoon talking about exactly how it will be distributed across the country. We have our system here in New Hampshire ready to go in place. The first vaccine kind of vials that we get will go primarily through CVS and Walgreens. And the reason of that is because they're going to provide all of the vaccine. They're going to be the distributor, if you will, to our long-term care facilities, and that's where our highest need, our highest risk individuals are, and so they'll be kind of first in line for the first 20, 30, 40,000 doses of the vaccine that we get, and that's about what we expect even before Christmas, about 20,000 vials or so of the Pfizer vaccine, maybe 10, 15,000, if we're lucky, of the Moderna one, and so that's going to really get us off on the right foot, because that's really the population that we need to protect, And so those healthcare workers, those frontline workers, those that work in healthcare or hospitals, and obviously those in congregate living settings like long-term care facilities that have all those other underlying conditions that put them at the highest risk. They'll be first in line, but we're going to be ready to go. We're working with Washington on literally a day-by-day basis. So if anything changes, we know about it. We can adapt our plan. And then as we move into January, February, March, we already have our plans in place to get it out to the more general population. The key is this. We want everyone to get the vaccine that wants it, and we want to make it as easy as getting a flu shot. That's the concept. So you can go to a CVS. You can go to your doctor. You can go to a hospital. You will have public vaccine stations set up all across the state as well. So we're going to make it really, really easy for people to sign up, make their appointment, go in, get their vaccine. And most of these vaccines, if I could just have another 30 seconds here, are two-shot vaccines. It's a very, very important point. You go in, you get your first shot, you come back 21 or 28 days later, depending on the one you get, to the exact same place if you get your second shot. So there is a follow-up that has to be done. That's why we have to kind of track who gets the vaccine and where they are, because we don't want people to take the first shot and not come back for the second. You know, we want to make sure they see the process all the way through. And just like we've gone through with COVID for the last 9 months, seeing everything to the end, playing the 60 minutes of the game, as Bill Belichick says, and really seeing it all the way through is the most important. We've made all these sacrifices. Let's just have a little more discipline and make sure that we get it out there. But we're going to be ready for the vaccine. I think that's the real good news that we're hearing, come out of Washington in conjunction with our Department of Health, Public Health here in New Hampshire.
Don't you think it's amazing what they have done? I mean, President Trump called it Operation Warp Speed. It's, you know, when we first, heard about the virus and it was affecting so many lives, we heard that it's going to take at least a year and a half, probably at least 2 years before there would be any vaccine. And now here we are, even before Christmas, with the possibility of it.
It's absolutely, nobody thought it could be done. Literally nobody, not Dr. Fauci, nobody thought that we were really going to have a viable vaccine in December. And not only is it viable, it is 90%. There's no vaccine, there's almost no vaccine on Earth that is like that. So it's the two that have already come out are 90 and 95%. That's what they think the efficacy of it is. Most flu vaccines are 50 or 60% viable. This is 90, 95%. So that gives everybody an amazing sense that not only is it going to be ready, but it's going to be very, very effective, and that just gets us out of this whole thing that much faster.
Yeah, it is incredible what has been done by the scientists and the pharmaceutical companies, and really amazing. I know something very near and dear to your heart, the ski season. It's going to be a little bit delayed this year, not just because of the weather we're experiencing now, but I know you're anticipating a big year despite COVID.
No, I think we are going to have a great year, a great ski season. I really do. The resorts are going to be open. Folks, not just New Hampshire, but all across New England are going to be here. Skiing is an outdoor activity. You can have social distancing. You can wear the mask without it interfering with doing your activity. So if anything, it's, I don't want to say it's conducive to COVID, but you can do it. You absolutely can do it. And I think the preseason sales from we've heard from the different resorts are very strong right now. And so we just need the good Lord to provide a little cold weather, let the snow come, and allow the temperatures so they can make it. And I think it's going to be very, very strong. So people should get ready and gear up. I don't know if some of the other states have really shut things down. So I think that especially the New Hampshire resorts and the restaurants and the hotels and all these industries that have really suffered are going to have an opportunity to hopefully make some of that money back, have a strong winter tourism season. We see a lot of people moving here, a lot of businesses moving here, and it's just a little bit of good weather on our side. I think we're in shape for a strong winter season for everybody.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And, people are wearing masks anyway when they're skiing, so, it's not an issue, right?
It isn't. It works. Now, the one thing there will be changes. Like, they're going to have to manage how many folks and how often they can come into the base lodges.
Yeah.
They might do more grab-and-go food. They might have more restaurant-style rules where they just the parties have to maintain a certain distance apart from one another. Maybe there's not as much lounging around, the base lodges you might typically have. But that's fine. I think that's a small price to pay for what we think is going to be a great season. So we want people to gear up, buy their tickets, and have some fun this winter.
Going back to November 3rd again, not only did you win a resounding victory, but it was a wonderful night for Republicans in this state, where the Senate went from 14 to 10 Democrat to 14 to 10 Republican. The House is now controlled by Republicans, and the Executive Council with four Republicans, four out of five. What were your thoughts? Did you have any idea that, that this might be the case?
Of course.
Oh, look, I know you did. I know you did.
Early on, I
the
made
eternal
the
optimist.
That, yeah, well, I am. But you know, early on, I knew the Republican Party, especially, had really good candidates that believed in the individual, believed in businesses, that didn't believe in big government and big taxes. That's where the Democrats were pushing a lot of things that last session, and that's why I spent so much of my money and my time and my efforts during the campaign season for the other candidates, because we knew the Senate and the House and the Executive Council really had to kind of come back to being bodies that move forward, not just kind of look to see what other states do. That's what we were doing for 2 years. The Democrats and the legislature were trying to copy New York's model or Vermont's model or Massachusetts' model. Those are not good models to copy. This is the answer. Those guys are trying to copy us, right? So we spent a lot of time with those candidates. I knew we could do well, and we did. I think we're the only state in the country, I'm proud to say, that turned our legislature Republican, because we're just getting back to what it wasn't such Republican-Democrat. I like to say it's really about New Hampshire, putting people and businesses and employment opportunities and all of that. That has to come first over big government, big taxes. You know, that's very rarely the solution. Big government is very rarely the solution to anything. And I'm the head of the government, and I'm telling you, don't always just believe that government is going to be the answer. The individuals are the answer. And that's what we all ran on, a very good message. On the federal side, I think the president not doing very well in New Hampshire, obviously, you know, dragged down some of the federal candidates. But people in New Hampshire are very smart voters. They're very, very smart. They look at the issues on the federal side, on the state side, what's going to impact them. They kind of jump around on the ticket. And that's a good thing in many ways, because they want to get to know you as an individual. That's what grassroots politics is all about. And we worked hard, and we had a good message, and we're going to work on that message, right? We're going to commit. We committed to it in the campaign as a party of Republicans, and we're committing to it in action. That's what the people of the state are going to see in the coming legislative session. Tax reduction, more freedom, more economic opportunity.
Governor Chris Sununu with us. And, you know, the only question is now, where is the House going to meet? Tomorrow, of course, Organization Day. They're doing it in Durham, outdoors. But logistically, where are they going to meet once the session begins?
You know, I got to be honest, I don't know. I know they're working on it. I really don't know. It's kind of, you know, the House managers themselves. If the House and the Speaker of the House, technically, they run the State House. I don't run the State House. I really don't have a say whether the State House is open or closed or all that. But obviously, putting 400 House members in one chamber, a House chamber, is not a smart thing to do. They know they can't do that responsibly. So they are looking for other places where they can be socially distanced and still be able to do the votes in the public hearing. So we're looking at a lot of options. I really don't know what they're going to come up with. But either way, you know, we'll do everything we can do to make sure it's safe and it's viable so that folks can, the members themselves can participate. Hopefully the public can still participate. That's a very, very important part of the process in a safe way, and get the public testimony that's required for so many of these pieces of legislation.
Do you have any aspirations for this next term in the House? What would you like to see happen?
Tax cuts. Taxes. Look, people are going through tough times. The last thing the government should be doing is taking another buck out of their pocket. And so I think tax cuts is some structural stuff. I think we need to save more. I've always been an advocate of raising the rainy day fund. We have a cap on our rainy day fund. Who puts a cap on their savings account, Ken? Does that make any sense to anybody? I mean, that doesn't make it. So, you know, take these caps off, allow the state to save. We did well last time, and we're not going to have to, you know, we can use some of that rainy day fund given the COVID crisis that we had, but we're not going to have to raise taxes. I think we need to just be smarter for the long run. And in this next session, if we do get stimulus money from the federal government, making sure that one-time money is invested in smart one-time projects around the state. Whether it's roads or bridges or wastewater treatment plants or infrastructure that can reduce property taxes and reduce the tax burden on the citizens of the state, that's where we want to put a lot of the one-time stimulus money to get the economy going in the right direction.
Well, and speaking of the economy, we're getting some pretty good money in these days from the sports books in the state, and two up and running right now, and I'm assuming more to come.
Yeah, they're doing really well. The DraftKings partnership with a lot of the local sports venues, the sports book venues, I should say. Here in the state, there's one, the Brook over in Seabrook, and Filatimo over in Manchester. They're both doing incredibly well. not just in terms of raising money for the state, but they're fun, clean, you know, family atmosphere. People can go and have a good time. It's not like the old, the old sports books of Atlantic City and the 7, 6, and 8. Those places were just creepy and weird. Our places are wonderful. I mean, they're really, really great places with great managers. And so they really serve as these first two are great models for what we'd like to see across the rest of the state. And there's just a really great way to do this. We've kind of set the tone. And if we continue across the state, there's no doubt that we can't be more and more prosperous in this opportunity with the sports betting that we now allow.
Yeah, and the partnership, as you mentioned, with DraftKings is really something, and it's really the envy of the other 5 states in New England at this point.
Nobody can do, the model and the deal we cut with DraftKings is without a doubt the best deal in the country. 49 other states want the deal that we got with DraftKings. And if anything, we've really changed the paradigm for the country in terms of how to do sports betting. And both using technology, both with how we do our partnerships at a local level with local sports books. And so we're just very proud of that. Charlie McIntyre, who runs the lottery commission, has worked hand in glove with DraftKings. He and his team did a phenomenal job creating something that didn't just get up and running, but got up and running incredibly fast at an incredibly high quality with a deal that just simply cannot be matched anywhere in the country. So hats off to them. It was the work they did. Huge win for every citizen in the state.
Yeah, no doubt about that. How's my favorite game doing, Keno?
Keno's doing very well. They're doing very, very well. Another great example of any of us who, maybe were in Massachusetts years ago playing Keno, in the bars, and you had to go up to the bar and play the numbers and the whole thing. The technology that you have now makes it a super, super easy, super fun game. It's booming across the state. And again, the best part about Keno and DraftKings is when you lose, education wins, right? Because all the dollars go into education here in the state. We have it earmarked for that. And so, you can go, you can have fun, maybe win a lot of money, but even when you lose, the state does definitely make out kids do well with that. They put so much money, the New Hampshire Lottery put so much money into public education in the state over the last 40 years. It's really unbelievable. And we have a great model with the envy of the rest of the country. And again, it sets the standard, not just for sports betting and for Keno, it's just a standard just for how we do things.
Yeah.
Like customer service, if you will, across the state.
Yeah, it's truly incredible. It really is. Now, by the sound of your voice, and you're always a very enthusiastic, upbeat, optimistic guy, I think you love being governor of this state. I really and truly do.
Well, I tell you, I love the job. This is one of the hardest parts of COVID. Is the best part of the job I'm missing out. I'm not able to spend as much time with people as I used to, just because there's not as many events and we're trying to keep social distancing. That's been one of the bigger bummers of the year. COVID is in its side. So the best part of the job has been a little bit lacking for me, but I do love it. And I do love that we set high standards and I challenge our team to exceed them, right? Set a goal that you don't even think is achievable and then push them to get over that line. And allow them to come up with new innovative ideas to get there. The government, the old way of doing government is just to stick in this old-fashioned box and keep doing it the same way. But what I've tried to do with my team is just, give it a little punch in the gut a little bit, shake it up, let some of the innovators in our departments think out of the box and let their ideas come to the forefront. And I love that, man. I get so excited about that. Everybody should. Look, whether you're sitting in our rest areas on Route 93, the best rest areas in the country,
yeah,
or how we run our liquor stores, or how we do the lottery in drafting, we're always trying to simply do it better. Doesn't mean we're perfect. There's always something else to fix. I'm an engineer, so I'm a big believer there's always a better way. Even if you've designed the system, there's always a better way to do it down the road. And so we're challenging ourselves with that, and that's fun. That's a lot of fun.
Now, it is, and you sound like you're having fun, and I think you really and truly are.
Yeah.
So it
has its tough days. I'm not going to lie. It has its tough days.
Yeah.
But you always got to, the sun's going to come up, you always got to find something that motivates you. And in this job, there's a lot to be very proud of.
No doubt about it. So that means you're not going to entertain any possibilities for other office in a couple of years from now.
I'm sorry, Ken. What was that? I couldn't hear you. Sorry, you're breaking up, buddy.
Yeah.
We'll have to make it.
Right.
You know what, man? I just got done with election. We got so much on our plate with COVID and the economy and the budget. And you know, protesters out of my outside my house and all that nonsense. So I got enough on my plate right now. We'll deal with the elections down the road.
You know, you've gotten, and deservedly so, great reviews for, you know, the briefings that you give on a regular basis, you know, carried on television. But you know who's gotten even bigger reviews than you?
Who's that?
It's the guy who does the sign language.
David. He's the best. David's the best. You know, and I tell you, I've done a little bit, but if people could see what is really going on, I mean, I don't know if we've talked about this before maybe, but, you know, when David can't hear. He's deaf. And so think about it. Is he watching me and watching what I'm saying? No. So how does he know what to sign? There are people in the back of the room that are hearing what I'm saying, signing to him, and then he's signing back to the camera. It's this amazing dance that goes on. And what that team does for the deaf and hard of hearing is just incredible. And he's just an incredible guy himself. So he's been quite a gem. He's become a little New Hampshire celebrity, to say the least.
I had no idea. I had no idea that was going on.
It's so complicated. And you know what? The other thing is, the people signing in the back of the room are using kind of standard American sign language. David uses more of an interpretive signing, kind of a more, if you will, modern way of doing it. And you know, it's much more gesture driven. And so that even that's a little different. They're not signing even the same thing. I'm talking. They're doing American sign language. He's doing more of an interpretive sign language all the way back to the camera. And somehow he keeps up with the fast way I talk. Everything back to the top. I couldn't keep up with myself by hearing myself, never mind trying to having multiple teams interpret it. So what they do is nothing short of a miracle, frankly.
It is truly, truly amazing. And Governor Sununu, I appreciate the time that you've spent with us today on New Hampshire Now. And have a wonderful day. We're in December. It's the holiday season. The lights are great this year. And
your show is on. We're the second day in. You're rocking it, and I
get the governor on the second show. I think that's pretty good. And we
imagine who will be on the third.
I can hardly wait. But Governor Sununu, thanks, and we hope to chat with you again soon. If not, have a wonderful holiday season.
You too. Be safe, everybody. Thanks, Ken. Be safe.
Thanks so much, all Governor right. Chris Sununu. 1039-1450. NewHampshireTalkRadio.com, NHTalkRadio.com. This is New Hampshire Now.